will be more conventionally, I guess, on the dot. So before we start, just speaking of Natan, right? Natan brought to my attention that the Kliyakar in Noach also fits in very nicely to what we have been suggesting. The Kliyakar is, again, we talked about whether or not the post-Mabel voracious relationship is a... is a deterioration or it is an upgrade, you know, for man, you know, whether that has to do, you know, with the expectations of man or again, his achieving a level which differentiates him more obviously, you know, and with greater scope from animals. Again, we saw a range of different views. So the Kliyakar does have a very excellent formulation, where he says that the difference between Adam and Noach is that Noach was more of a, you know, Torah personality, I guess, like he actually says that, and that consequently, again, he, you know, kind of deserved the elevated status beyond the animals. Then he goes on to explain, you know, the relationship between the various levels of creation. But again, that works in very nicely. You know, we've seen certainly the opposite, namely that you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam was kind of sighing, and just like he, you know, formulates man's, you know, difficult default nature in the beginning of the Mabel. So the deterioration idea is certainly formulated clearly, and this is the elevation idea, not just in terms of the relationship between man and animal, as we had in the Ramban. But again, the elevation of man himself as a result of or due to the figure of Noach. But with everything that we're also explaining, again, based on Ramban and others, one could add that with people who are more committed, let's say, to a spiritual focus of their lives, and let's be with higher standards of morality and of spirituality, that too is part of that elevation. It isn't just man has differentiated himself more from, and therefore, you know, animals can be, you know, part of his diet. But it's also, again, having accepted a code or being more consistent about living with a code or more sensitive to that, you know, that also allows for him, you know, to have a more physical kind of life, you know, lest otherwise it, you know, lead to deterioration. Okay, so that's interesting. Natan also just mentioned to me that the Ralbag, in a strange comment, just denies that there ever was an Iser Vachilas Basar, and he admits that that's against Chazal. That's kind of a peculiar Ralbag. They're not the only peculiar Ralbag, but the Ralbag is a very challenging Perush. But of course, as we know, according to you know, the Rashbash's understanding of the Rambam, that is a view of Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara. So he doesn't mention that, and he's certainly not basing it on that, but it's just interesting that you have a semi, and I emphasize semi-traditional commentator, because Ralbag is not a traditional commentator, but he is a semi-traditional commentator, especially in his Perush Al HaTorah. Again, what motivated the Ralbag was something that philosophically he's very committed to, but in this particular case it's just a little bit tamua, and that is the... you know, he finds it very difficult to admit of any kind of change of heart, you know, in the Ribbono Shel Olam's policy. But the truth is that, again, that's very consistent with Ralbag, even more so than other Mefarshim. I mean, that's a problem that all, you know, thinkers have to deal with. I mean, how can the Ribbono Shel Olam change his mind? It's particularly a problem for the Ralbag, as I was saying, because Ralbag is of the opinion that the way that the world was set up is that there's no... the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have knowledge of particulars. That's the Ralbag's famous, or infamous, I should say, view in his philosophic work, the Chamos Hashem. And consequently, you know, everything is part of, like, the original structure and setup, and then kind of the programming of the active intellect, the Seichel HaPoel, you know, kind of, you know, takes over, you know, from there. Therefore, the idea of a change, and this affects his view on, you know, determinism and Hashgacha and many, many things, But so that's you know kind of probably where this is coming from. What's strange about it is that the Mabul already, of course, seems to be an example of man of Baruch Shalom changing his mind, as do many other things that took place or that take place where there seems to be a reaction, you know, to man's behavior. And it to me seems just peculiar that you would single this particular thing out more than those things. That the answer, even if you take a very hardwired, you know, look, you know, view on the Ribbono Shel'Olam's involvement and his structuring of the world and of creation, is that there are contingencies based on developments, and that this itself is a development, maybe even an anticipated development, meaning the world was supposed to go through different, you know, Gilgulim. Again, Moshe Lamad Dover Domer, like Chazal say, you know, Barak Kadosh Baruch Hu Sa'olam, you know, B'midas Hadin, but then he saw that people, you know, couldn't survive, so he's Meshatev, you know, Tesarachamim. You know, again, the creation of Bereshis, the creation of Gan Eden, you know, post Gan Eden, you know, the creation of, you know, the world, the Mabul, the recreation, you know, and so on and so forth. All these things are not so difficult to explain. I mean, they're challenging, and the Mefarshim discuss them, but in the end of the day, these are all, you could say, anticipate. The Ribbono Shel Olam knew all these things were going to happen, but they have to unfold, because that's part of the development of the world, and we learn from these developments. They always echoes, the original states continue to resonate, just like they do in the case of Basra with Abram and Achai, or other Isurim, etc. So I don't know why this is more than other things, you know, such a you know, kind of inviolable you know, idea, but I think that's peculiar, but interesting to know. Okay, anyways, regarding our last thing we were doing was surveying where Shechita or Zvicha, again, I'm not so fixated on the word Shechita, I don't care about that, but Shechita or Zvicha, where that comes into play, and I noted that it is particularly interesting where it doesn't come into play and where it does come into play. Again, there are numerous examples of food being prepared, meat being prepared, you know, in Bereshis, you know, where Shechita or Zvicha is omitted. But it is mentioned in the context of the Akeda, the Machelas, and it is also mentioned in the negative, you know, in Bechiras Yosef. And I was not going to repeat what I said, but I think that those are likely fit in very well with the idea that Shechita is a way of elevating Achilas Basar, of being turning it into a Davar Shebekdusha. So again, in the Akeda, you know, that like is the ultimate in terms of what needs to be transformed. And in the case of Bechiras Yosef, it's as part of the heinous abuse or the kilkul of everything that takes place in that particular parsha. Anyways, then we discussed, and this is what we're kind of up to, the role of Shechita in, as it first appears in the Torah as a norm, as a chiyuv, and that of course is in two parshios, the parsha of Korban Pesach first, really, in Shemos, and parshas Bo. Several times the Torah speaks about Shechita, and the second time in the beginning of Vayikra, which is, you know, the beginning of Torah HaKorbanos, basically, the Korbanola. In the beginning of Perek Aleph, Pasuk Hei in Vayikra, we speak of the Shechita of the Korban. And what I was trying to say, we'll get back to this hopefully, you know, later, but this is very directly related now to, you know, what we're interested in, and that is the relationship between Shechitas Kadshim and Shechitas Kulin. And what we were trying to say was that when it comes to general Shechitas Kadshim, there's a certain dialectical, you know, role, complex role that Shechita plays. Again, I don't have to repeat what I said in terms of the Dalar Avodos and Pigul and, you know, Lashma and so on and so forth. Even the Lashma Mem Vav Amud Aleph and Mishnah and Tzvachim might be only about Shechita, according, not even the other Avodos, according to some. And at the same time, Shechita being Sheira Bazar, Shechita, you know, being applicable to Chulin and therefore Bachutz, you know, what is that all about? You could say there are two Shechitas, and I was giving you the example of the Rashi, who says that, you know, any Shechita that takes place on Shabbos requires a Kohen, that Rashi. And even if you don't go that far, you could still say there are two dinim, and we'll see this in Minyan Mitzvos in just a couple of minutes. But if you don't, then it's an interesting question to wonder about. Let's say, you know, if there's Shechitas Chulin and Shechitas Kadshim, does the Shechitas Chulin kind of degrade the Shechitas Kadshim? You know, and that's one of the reasons it isn't, you know, intrinsically an avoda. You know, or is it the opposite? Is it the fact that there is Shechitas Kadshim, does that elevate, you know, Shechitas Chulin? Is that really part of its story? I think that there's evidence for both of these dinim. Again, many who explain Shechita Lav Avoda based on Shechitas Chulin are certainly saying the first. I'm, you know, going to suggest in just a couple of minutes, as we already alluded to it, that, you know, for quite a few Rishonim, the second is true. Namely that Shechitas Kadshim, the fact that Shechita plays a role in Kadshim, is foundational in Shechitas Chulin, in terms of perhaps what makes it a mitzvah, in terms of other things as well, as we'll see. I also should add, and again, it's not like I'm looking for trouble, but trouble always does seem to find me, and that is that there's these two things are opposite in many respects, but they're not mutually exclusive. It could be that the fact that there's Shechitas Chulin is responsible for differentiating, you know, Shechitas, the Shechita and Kadshim from the other Avodos, particularly from Zrika, you know, which is its rival, in a way. You know, the first and the last, but especially the intensity of what each does. That may be true, and it also may be true at the same time that since Shechita does play a role in Kadshim, and an important role, you know, even if it's different from, you know, Zrika, and even from the lesser, you know, Kabbalah and Halacha, but, you know, the very fact that it still belongs or maybe originates in, you know, the world of Kadshim, you know, does elevate Chulin. Both these things could be true. I believe that the real preponderance of evidence is that both things are true. I'm just, you know, that's not a secret, I mean, but that's really what I'm trying to, I guess that's the mahalak that I think is most valuable. Although, along the way, just as we've seen, you know, again, we've been trying to push the idea that, you know, the Isra of Achilas Basar and its Heter al Yidei Shechita is something that already implies, again, a certain kind of elevation, and it isn't just a technicality, but it's, you know, it's something that addresses those issues. And clearly there are Mefarshim who disagree, as we've documented along the way. So too, there are clearly Mefarshim who think that, you know, Shechitas Chulin either has nothing to do with Shechitas Kadshim, or if there is a relationship, it's all on the downgrade, and not at all on the upgrade. So I admit that, and I still think the preponderance of evidence, both in terms of the halacha, you know, comprehensively that we paskin like, as well as the language and the views of some of the Rishonim, as we'll see, is that both of these things are true. And that's a very, very, if that's the case, that's a very important perspective on both Shechitas Kadshim and Shechitas Chulin, on Shechita, one could say. And that's really what we're going to try to push a little bit further. Again, when it comes to Korban Pesach, as we noted, you know, there Shechita plays even a larger role, right? And that's why the Torah emphasizes it even more. And we talked about the Shlichus part and the Minui Lechabura part and it being Ikaro Lachila, that some of the, you know, some of the role of, you know, Lashem or Lishmas that are necessary, particularly in Korban Pesach, the special Lishmas, you know, may be more pronounced actually in Shechita even than in Zrika. So I don't think, again, that this is in Minyan HaMitzvos for the Rambam. Rambam talks about Shechitas HaPesach. We'll see soon. He doesn't ever count Shechitas other Korban. Shechitas HaOla, Shechitas HaShlamim, Shechitas HaChatas are not counted as separate mitzvos in the Minyan Taryag of Rambam. But Shechitas Korban Pesach is. And very understandably, you know, given the role of Torah Shebetzav, you know, it ascribes to it and that the Halacha ascribes to it. But in addition to all of that, I think, you know, again, the particular idea that Korban Pesach is a Korban Amuna, which I don't want to get into right now, and that it is, you know, connected deeply with Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, which is a cornerstone of Kedushas Yisrael, I think, you know, that maybe it's a coincidence and maybe not, you know, that the Shechita is even more pronounced in Korban Pesach than it is in other Kabbalah. So that is kind of where we are. And if you look at the, you know, formulation in Torah Shabbat Sav throughout, again, it's a curious thing, and it's just always worth noting. Again, what you make of it in the end, based on the, you know, Mefarshim and other things, you know, is a separate point. But it's always, at minimum, worthwhile just paying very close attention to the Psukim to see when we're talking about Korbanos, when the Torah speaks, you know, just about Asiyas HaKorban, or they talk about, you know, Zrika, and when they really emphasize Shechita in a particular context. So based on what everything that we're talking about now, you know, both the interesting, complex, dialectical role that Shechita has in Kadshim and the broader idea, you know, of behind Shechita, at minimum, those are things to be looking at. So, for example, the parsha that we just read, you know, not Re'eh, because we're beyond that, but we're going to talk about Re'eh. So, a second. That later. But in Parshas Shoftim, right, you have two very obvious examples of this as well. You know, again, just, you know, reading these parshios, so it's worth noting. Right, in Perek Yitzayin, right at the beginning, there's a Pasuk, Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk, second, Pasuk Aleph, Lo sizbach l'Hashem elokecha shor v'aseh, asher yevo mum, kol davar ra, ki to'avas, Hashem elokecha hu. Again, it's the emphasis is on the zvicha, right? That's what Unkel says. You know, Unkel translates it this way as well. Lo sizbach. You know, he says lo tikos, right, with a kaf, kaf. So this is a reference to Shechitas Kadshim Balmum, right? And according to Rashi, based on Chazal, Kol Dabara is a reference to Pikel. Okay, so it's just, again, it's interesting that the Torah emphasized, I talked about Shechutei Chutz the other day as well, why the emphasis is so much on the Shechita part. Again, it's also true, Haloah is Chutz. Let's say you did the Shechita properly in the Mikdash, and the Haloah was Bachutz. So you have to look at these halachos, but especially where the surim apply to other avodos, when the emphasis is on the shechita, right? That's something that is noteworthy. Again, you could also argue that, you know, it's just because it's the tchila, possible, or because it's called the zevach, although that might beg the question. But that's one example, and then you have it again here when it talks about the chiyuv of matanos. Lekoanim, here in Perek Yedches, with the pasuk, you know, Gimel, the Zeya Mishpat Hakoanim Meis Ha'am Meis Zovchei Hazevach Imshor Imsev Inasa Lekoin Azroa Halachayayim VeHakeva. Right. So again, the emphasis is on when you bring a korban, obviously, that you have to bring give these matanos to the Kohen, certain kind of korbanos, but it's Meis Zovchei Hazevach. So I'm just giving you as examples. The main parsha that I want to speak about now, of course, is the ones in Re'eh that we alluded to the other day, and I want to speak about them for a couple of minutes before we go on to talk about Minyan Mitzvos. So what are those? Shalom. Yeah. So what are those two parshios in Re'eh? They're very fascinating because they seem to be very similar. Correct? And then there's a debate among the Mefarshim as to whether or not they are the same or not. And that's already just worth noting at minimum. So where does he have it? Yud Beis Tezvav. Right, these are all, you know, like the initial psukim are about. Right, Yishama lecha pentale olosecha b'chol makom asher tireh. Right, ki ima makom asher yivcha Hashem ba'achad shvatecha, sham tale alosecha, sham taseh kol hashem yimitzavecha. This is a shkutei chutz kind of issue, where you have to bring korbanos to the mikdash. Somebody made the ha'ara, or asked me after the shiur the other day, about the relationship between shkutei chutz and chulin ba'azara. right? And I think it's a good hara, and it's absolutely true. These are kind of parallel, you know, opposites, right? They both violate the boundaries that separate kadshim and chulin, bringing chulin v'azara as an affront. And again, you could say there are two different dinim, and one is about the, you know, chulin, and one is about the kadshim. The common denominator, of course, is ignoring what should be, right, a respectful differentiation between the two. And the more you think, frankly, that there's an overlap in terms of achilas basar and kadshim, especially in the shkita part, right, the more, you know, that overlap, you know, is highly sensitive, ironically, right? You know, to use a kadshim expression, you know, b'mino machriv shelo b'mino lo machriv. You know, when things are proximate, this is true in life also, right, the things that are most challenging and troublesome and that, you know, bother us the most are the things that are, you know, not obvious and clear, you know, but where, you know, the nuances really matter. Okay. Anyway, so Shkutei Chutz and Chulin Bazara, you know, do have a lot in common according to many perspectives. They're parallel opposites that, you know, they have a, maybe have a common b'chayim. Anyways, so the Torah says you have to be careful. And then we're told, Shalom, go ahead. Rak? Tizbach v'achalta basar. You have it? Oh, you can read it from there, it's fine. Yeah, that's what. Right, then Rak Hadam, right, Tochlanu, Al Artsish Bekhanu, come on, Kisli Adam. Right? Okay, so that is one pasuk, and then later on, a few psukim later, you have what do you have a few psukim later? Kiyarchiv Hashem Elokechos Kibulcha. That's pasuk chaf. Kasher diber lach, right? Go ahead. Nafshecha lechol basar. So again, previously we talked about rak b'chol avas nafshecha, right? So it sounds like the same thing, right? B'chol avas nafshecha tocha basar. Go ahead. Now the words kasher tzibisicha are very looming large. Like, what does that mean, kasher tzibisicha? Right? Dechalta b'sharecha, b'chol avas nafshecha. Okay, go ahead. Ach. Okay, so it sounds very similar to the previous psukim, which also speak about eating together like tzvi ba'ayol, right? Tomei v'tahar, and then again it's followed by rak chazak l'dilti achol adam ki adam o nefesh lo tochal nefesh im habasa, and again lo sochalenu ala aretz tishbechenu kamoy. So it seems like there are two parshios, right? Very close proximity, pasuk tezvav and pasuk chaf, and what is it? Chaf chafalef and chaf beis, right? Chaf gimel or whatever. So they're practically in the same parsha. You know, but they're not. And again, if you have a little, you know, if you look at the spacing in the Torah, right, we have the Samach here, it's separated, but they're very closely proximate, and they use these very similar language. And what's the difference between these parshiyos? And since Kasher Tzibisicha appears in the second one, that is particularly significant, because it sounds like we're interested to know whether or not there's a mitzvah of Shkita, you know, or achilas bas, shkitas basar, or whatever it is, you know, or what we mean by kasher tzibisicha, right? So this is a loaded parsha. And if the psukim relating to shkita are all about kadshim or also about chulin. Yeah, so what's the story about this? Again, I don't want to spend so much time because I want to move on, but what's the story behind here? So what is the view of the... let's take each one separately. Yud Beis Tesvav. Again, you have a pasuk there. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha. Tizbach b'yachalta basa. So it says, do shkita and achilas basa. Right? Yeah. So what does Rashi say?
Yeah.
Rashi says that this refers to, and this is based on the Sifrei. That Mokam Acher is a few psukim later, right? Right? And Tomei B'Tahar, Katsviva Ka'ayal, is what? That the Shabbat Mikor Kadshim, and therefore you would have thought that there would be a Chiyuv to eat a B'Tahar. So according to the Sifrei, which Rashi is quoting accurately, right? This Parsha is not talking about Kadshim exactly, but it's also not talking about Kulin. It's talking about Psulei Mukdashim. Psulei Mukdashim we're not going to get into right now. I hope at some point we'll have a chance to talk about it. But just to raise the point, Tzvi, what's the point? What would you say about Psulei HaMukdashim? Since we're identifying like categories here, what would you say about Psulei HaMukdashim?
It's not like actual Kadshim anymore because it also has a mum, but at the same time, it's not just your...
Yeah, standard. Psulei HaMukdashim is an in-between category. Right? It's not Chulin. Right? And that's why there's an Isav Gizav Avoda. That's why there's a Havamina that there's no Achila, you know, Betuma. Right? At the same time, it's not, you know, full Kadshim, because the whole point is that the Maskana is you can eat a Betuma, and you can eat a Bechomoko. Correct? So that's an interesting phenomenon and something maybe to test things out with as we go forward, right? Psulei HaMukdashim, you know, is something in between Chulin and Kadshim. Again, the question is, you know, how much Chulin, how much Kadshim are really, you know, hybrid? Is the Iser Giza V'Yavoda more telling than the Heter B'Tahara and B'Chutz? Or another way to say it might be also, is the Iser Giza V'Yavoda because of what it used to be? You know, and the heter of tahara, you know, of tuma and chutz is because of what it is. We do find in the halacha that sometimes because, you know, the old association, you know, is koveya, right? Or is it kadshim legabe gizav avoda? Still, like it wasn't nifte, you know, legabe that. So this is an interesting question, an important question. Okay. But either way, it isn't Chulin, right? That is the view of Rashi, and that's the view of the Sifrei. However, it's interesting to note that who disagrees? Shalom?
Rashbam
disagrees. I guess he's, you know, thinks all peep shot. He knows the Sifrei. What does Rashbam say? This is a reference to Basataiva, right? That's very fascinating. And then it's Achilas Chulin Bigvulin, and the Ibn Ezra in the series. What does Ibn Ezra say? What? Yeah, but the Ibn Ezra has a whole background here of his like the fascinating bikuach with a tzeduki, right? What's that all about? Aaron. Aaron, right?
Yeah.
You see that in Vayikra?
Yeah.
But he makes reference to it here. Yeah, so what happened with him in the Tzeduki?
I don't remember exactly.
Really? That's like pretty... Okay, what does he say? Do you have it here, what he says? He said he gave the Tzeduki Musar, you know, that he should only follow Torah Shebaal Peh, and the guy was Makabel. Wow. And then the whole question is like, it's a little strange because what's fascinating, there are two things that are fascinating, really. Because the whole thing is the, you know, the Ibn Ezra's, you know, he mentions here what he said there, but like he's not interpreting the pasuk here traditionally himself. Right? He's not saying anything against the halacha, but okay. Moreover, his whole view of what he gave him Musar about is something which is, you know, very nuanced. Okay, so what really happened was, if you look at the piece in Vayikra, not our topic, just background, he asked him about, the Tzeduki asked the Ibn Ezra about whether or not Aliyah you know, what is the alya really? The tail fat or something? So whatever it is, I guess the physicians among us, you know it better. Do we have any physicians among us? No pre-meds anymore?
Ozzy was.
Yeah. What?
His glory days.
Who was?
Ozzy
was.
Oh. Okay. No more. But Joey knows physics. You know about the alya? Apparently not. Anyway, the alya, it doesn't really matter for now. The alya, the Tzaduki said, isn't the alya chelev, and therefore it should be asur? The Ben Ezra said, it's called chelev, but it's, you know, mutter. Okay. Then he said to him, yeah, but isn't all chelev, you know, asur? And the Ben Ezra told him that it's only on some level, at least if you look at Torah Shem Echsav, that chelev is only asur in the context of shlam. But, you know, but Kadmoneinu kind of say that it's also asur, even shalob shlamim. And that's the, and the raya, one of the raya, what's it doing here? Why is he making reference here? So in that vikuach, the Ibn Ezra quotes the pasuk in here, right? Pasuk tesvav that says, anybody have that line? Rak b'chol avas nafshcha tizbach b'chol to basar. Right, hatamei v'atahar yochalenu katziv v'chayal. It says rak adam lo tochlu ala aretz ishbechenu kamoi. So he says that shows that on some level at least, only chelev kadshim is asur, and dam of everything is asur, but chelev not of kadshim at least is not mefurash bakra. That's anybody have the line? Are you have it? Go ahead. Yeah. So what's he saying?
Say that since it doesn't mention since it only excludes dam and not necessarily the chelev, it must be that the chelev from the beginning was fine.
Only chelev kadshim or shlamim. Which isn't really the case, but at least in terms of Befurash Bakra, I guess that would be the case. And then he said that the Tzaduki was Makabel, right? And the, you know, I don't know if he was still a Tzaduki, but he was Makabel. Can you be a Tzaduki and be Makabel? And then, I'm not sure. And then here, what does he say here? Who has a line here in Devarim? Shalom, you have it? That's what he's referring to, right? When he says, Shalom? And he's saying, like, you know, this is the pasuk that I quoted to the tzaduki to prove to him that he should kabbal the Masorah. Right? I'm just saying it's ironic because what he said to him in Vayikra, or that he records in Vayikra, and what he's referring to here is, number one, you know, a little bit. If you look again, Rashi on Katsviva Ka'ayal and all the other Mepharshim based on the Sifrei, they say, you know, Yachol, how does it go? She'en Ka'ayal, Katsviva Ka'ayal, how does it go? Ka'ayal, Pocha, how does it go? It's Mimait, Chelet. Okay. Anyways. But also, he's not interpreting this pasuk the way the Sifrei is interpreting, which is that this pasuk actually does not refer to regular chulin, right? It refers to psulei mukdashim. Unless he thinks that the fact that it's psulei mukdashim, even though there's an isur giza v'avoda, you know, shouldn't change that equation. But either way, in both places, in Vayikra and here, he's interpreting that this pasuk is talking about basar taivo. So what's the point of the next parsha? Shalom? How does he explain the next parsha? You see? About what?
Maybe it's about chulin.
Well, this he thinks is talking about chulin. The whole point I'm just trying to make very quickly is that the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra against Rashi and the Sifrei, against the Sifrei and Rashi, interpret that this pasuk, which speaks about heter shchita, is talking about basar taiva, chulin. That's what they hold. And that's not what Rashi and the Sefrei think this parsha is about. Aye, but if you hold that way, what do you do with the next parsha? The Rashbam doesn't tell us, but the Ibn Ezra does, and he says something very fascinating, and that is that the next parsha is to be Marba. Anybody? Chutzlaretz. That you might have thought that Kiyarchiv Hashem Elokechos Gevulcha, right? Kiyirchak Mimcha Hamakom means even Chutzlaretz, because you might still have thought that the heter of Achilas is a fascinating Habamina. That the heter of Achilas Basar Taiva Chulin would be limited to Eretz Yisrael. Kamashmalan, that that's not the case. It's a strange Habamina. Right? It implies that the heter b'achilas basar chulin, right, is itself, you know, some sort of a special din, right? Meaning it's not just, you know, be megala milsa that this is, you know, kosher food. Kosher food's kosher food in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. It sounds like, oh, and I would just add, you know, that the Ibn Ezra, again, he knows the Sefrei. I mean, he's giving Musar to the Tzaduki. Again, Ibn Ezra does this very often. He goes his own way in pshat. But in the end of the day, I think it's as curious that the parsha that Chazal says he's talking about some sort of in-between, Psulei Mukdashim, he thinks for all intents and purposes. And again, if you confronted him, he might have said, well, okay, but it's basically Chulin. It's the din of Chulin, right? So I think that even though the Ibn Ezra is expanding, you know, Shechitas Chulin, that applies to both of the parshios, I think both elements, right, to the application of it, even in what Chazal says, Psulei Mukdashim, I'll get something similar in the Rambam in a minute. And number two, this Havamino, or this need for a second parsha to go further and to apply it to Chutz Laaretz, implies that Shechita, you know, is a Kodshim-esque kind of a thing, even for Basar Chulin. A little bit. You could say, no, that's all Havaminas, but Lamaskana, everything is good. Maybe. I just think it's interesting and curious. Okay. What's that? In Katcha. I'm just saying, Ibn Ezra does two interesting things. Number one, the pasuk that Chazal, he's patting himself on the back for his, you know, anti-Tzaduki activity, even as he's, you know, part of the, you know, his suasive argument is that is based on the presentation, at least, that this is Basar Chulin. But the Sefrei, which he knew, you know, Rashi and the Sefrei, says that this is, you know, not Basar Chulin, this is Psulei HaMikdashim. So is that because he's equating Psulei HaMikdashim and Chulin Lagabe the Salacha? Maybe, I don't know. I think it's very curious. Secondly, what does he do with the next parsha? The Rashbam also has this question, but doesn't tell us. Right? Four psukim later, you have, you know, another parsha about Basar Taiva. So there he does tell us, Ibn Ezra. He says, you would have thought, if not for the Kiyarchiv and the Kiyirchak, that the Heter Vachilas Basar Taiva Al Yedei Shechita is only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laaretz. I'm saying that's strange. So if that Havamina is to make any sense, and you put that together with the fact that the, you know, that the what he says is Chulin is really Psulei Mukdashim, I'm wondering whether, you know, this isn't because Ibn Ezra doesn't see Shechita itself, not as just a technical, you know, Hakshara Sabasar, but as something which is like an expanded, like it is for Chulin, this is the Chulin, this is the, you know, Kodshimizing of Chulin, or the elevating of Chulin. And maybe that you can only do that in Eretz Yisrael. Only have a heter to do that in Eretz Yisrael. And then substituting Psulei Mukdashim for Basar Taiva, you know, isn't so bad. It is, after all, Mutar B'chutz and Betumah, right? You might say, yeah, Legabe, you know, forget about the Giza, not because he's downgrading the Giza of Avoda necessarily, but because he's, the whole thing is about upgrading Shechita. Understand? Okay. That's a little exotic, but that's what I think is going on. What about the next parsha? So Rashi says that refers, Shalom, to Basar Taiva Dechut. Okay, you have it? First of all, he contrasts it to the Midbar, which we need to get to, right, hopefully in the next few days. B'chalavas naf shechavol b'midbar Nesalem Basachulin. Elohim Magdisha Makriva Shalom. We'll get back to this, because that's a Machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Very, very, very important. Right? How do you paskin, and what? How do you understand the different views? What was permitted by Midbar? Right? Because that wasn't Rikuk Makom and Kiyarchiv Gebulcha. So Rashi's holding here with the view that you have to treat only heter's kachin.
Wow.
Okay. So again, you know, you can always say that, you know, once we're past that, and that's a sea change. But you wonder, right? Even Rashi's kind of saying that. But okay. But then Yirchak Mibcha Makom. Go ahead. Below Tuchal Lova Velaso Shlom and Bechol Yom. Kemo Achshav Shamishkan Holechi Makem. Okay, go ahead. What's the Zavachta Kasher Tzivi Sicha? Yeah. Okay. So Kasher Tzivi Sicha, according to Rashi, means the halacha of the Moshe Mitzina of the Dine Shchita. It doesn't mean particularly that there's a mitzvah of Shchita. Right? And it certainly doesn't come from Kachin here. But he does also say, again, he does emphasize the contrast to the Midbar. It sounds like, you know, there's no choice. Right? And he also adds on Acha Sheyokel Esatzviva, Sa'ayo, Ein Chamuzo La'ochon B'Tahara. Right? I'm sorry. What I was looking for before was Imatzi V'ayo Chelba Mutar. You might think Af Chulin Chelba Mutar. Talmud Lomar Ach. That's what I was talking about in terms of the contrast to Ibn Ezra. But okay. So again, the Habamina, even after this, is that you have to eat a B'Tahara. Right? You have to eat Kulin B'Tahara. I'm not talking about, you know, we'll talk about Altaras HaKodesh in the beginning of the, you know, on the base when we get to it. We'll talk about that. But even Rashi, who's saying this is Basar Kulin, is contrasting, based on the Medrash, you know, the Sifrei, with, you know, what happened to Midbar. And there still is a Havamina of Tahar. Okay? Now, what about the Ramban? Shalom? You have a lot to make up for here.
Did a lot of that in the last year.
What's that?
Evan's got to go.
Yeah. No, Evan's, he's also... you know, I was... before you said that, I was aware. But I appreciate, you know... The Arvus is like amazing. You have the Ramban?
Yeah.
What is Ramban? Okay, so he starts off by quoting what Rashi quotes, and that's Halacha Mitzvah. It's also a view of that the Sifrei, and mostly that's the Gemara. Right, which Gemara? On Chav Chesem. Do you have it there for just for a second? Right, this is when the Gemara talks about Shchitas Oath, so on. Right, so the Gemara has this line. Go ahead. Gemara quotes was about this parsha. Yeah. So what is that? Zavachta kasher tzivisicha belamed shenistav moshe ala veshet v'alakana ala rov echad ba'olf al rov shnayim gemi. The dinim of shchita. Okay. So it sounds like the Gemara also. It's clear that the Gemara interprets this part of the parsha as referring to basar taiva. Okay. That's also clear, by the way, in the Gemara. In which other Gemara? Yeah, what does the Gemara say in Peidalid? Yeah, what Rashi, the other thing that Rashi quotes, so both Gemaras and Chulin understand the Parsha, like the Sifrei, which is even, of course, even earlier. Yeah, so what does he say here? Ki yarkav Hashem alakecha eskevucha limda tar derech eretz shal yoch adam basar al teyavo. Yochol yikach adam in hashuk. Yochol tamadam av zavach demiv karecha mitzonecha. Yochol Yizbach Kol B'Korov, Yochol Kol Tzono, Lib Karchav LaKol B'Korov, etc. And then you have the whole... It's perfectly clear from both Gemaras that the Gemara understands that this is referring to Basar Taiva. Okay? And so, kasher tzivisicha, according to the Gemara, according to the Sifrei, and according to Rashi, refers to shchitas chulin and to the halacha l'moshe mitzinai of the dinim. Kasher tzivisicha here doesn't mean a mitzvah, necessarily. It means according to the pratim that I provided in Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay? However, yeah, what does Ramban say? So the Ramban starts with that. Keep going. Yeah, sometimes yishchetem just means to murder, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so this is a whole different pshat, correct? That's not how Rashi read. What is he saying now? When it says the zabachta kasher tzivisicha, what does it mean? Kadshim. The words kasher tzivisicha means kasher tzivisicha bekadshim. And the zavachta mibkarecha means do, and even the details, right, come from kadshim. So the Ramban is underlining, keep going, say more. Oh, he repeats it a third time. Meaning, number one, he mentions the midbar, the contrast to the midbar, right? And then he says it again. Yeah, you could eat basar taiva, but you have to treat basar taiva the way you would treat kadshim, and then you can eat it. I mean, I'm saying it a little stronger, but he does repeat it three times, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Oh, then he quotes the other line of the Sifrei. Yeah. That what? Ma kachim. Okay, this is all very, very important. Right? Instead of saying, this is a parsha, basa. Again, according to the, let me make it clear, according to the Rashbam, let's say, we don't really, you know, and maybe according to the, I was trying to say something to the Ibn Ezra to kind of, you know, elevate it a little more. But still, according to the Rashbam, both of these parshas are talking about basar chulin. Again, why you need both, still a question. Right? But, you know, according to the Sifrei, according to Rashi, one parsha is psulei mukdashim, and the other is about basar taiva. At least according to Rashi, too, there's a reference to the contrast of midbar. Right, but at least kasher tzivisicha, based on the Gemara and that other line in the Sifrei, everything is within the world of shchitas chulin. There's no reason to think that shchitas kadshim is the basis for shchitas chulin. But the other line in the Sifrei is that kasher tzivisicha means that the makar is, or at least the reference point, is shchitas kadshim, and the Ramban is expanding on that significantly, three times, right? Now the word kasher tzivisicha doesn't have to anymore only mean the details. It also may mean kasher tzivisicha, just like it's a mitzvah lishkot esakadshim, so too, maybe, right, in the Sifrei you could read that. Do we mean kasher tzivisicha the details? Or do we mean, and it's a reference, or do we mean kasher tzivisicha? Just as the mitzvah lishkot esakadshim, there's a mitzvah on some level, right, lishkot esakul. Right? That's a whole different perspective. The Netziv in his Perish on the Sifrei, you know, quotes Ramban, says, oh, the Ramban, like, really brought this point out of the Sifrei, namely that this is a Kadshim formulation. What's fascinating is that the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos also has both of these Kasher Tzivisicha formulations. Yeah.
Is there everything the choice of Lashon of the Pasuk of using the specific Zavachta significant, or is that
I think
fungible?
So. I think it helps. Meaning, if you're talking about Shechitas Chulin and you use the word Bezamachta, that certainly seems more of a reason to connect to Kachin, you know, as opposed to Shechitas Chulin. Nobody calls it Zvichas Chulin. That is 100%, I think that is absolutely true. The Rambam, which we'll get to in just a second, is very interesting in all of these issues. But just to, on the point of Kasher Tzivisicha, which is so important, do you see it, Shalom?
Yeah.
What does he have there? Well, that he doesn't have in Sefer Mitzvos, does he? That's also, I think, very critical. We'll get to that in just a second, 100%. We'll get to that in just a minute. But in Mitzvah, say, Kuf Mem Vav, what does he have? Hisha Sivan, do you have it?
Yeah. Good.
Okay, the double formulation, which we'll get to, I think, methinks that he, you know, worketh hardeth, worketh hard. But, why is he saying it this way? Okay, we'll get to that. Muhu Amar Yisala, quoting again the second parsha in here. Go ahead. Zavachta mibkarecha mitzonecha kasher tzibisicha. Go ahead. So it's interesting, he breaks it up, Vizavachta is Mamukdashim Bishkita Abkulim Bishkita, whereas Ramban had Kasher Tzivisicha even connecting to Kachim, right? And the Kasher Tzivisicha is the Gemara and the Sifrei, right? Should it stav a Moshe Aleveshet Alakana Rovechad Ba'ov Arov Shnayim Bebehema, right? Etc. So the Rambam has both, as does the Ramban. I mean, the Rambam's earlier than the Ramban. Right? Oh. In addition to that, the Rambam does something very, very fascinating, which you put your finger on, and that is in quick, again, we have to speak quite a bit more about the Rambam's policies and his formulations here. That's what we're trying to do now. We're going to have to finish this on Tuesday, hopefully. But what about, what's so interesting about the Rambam? You said it before? The Rambam introduces Bechor Balmum here. Okay, what's the formulation? Perek Aleph. Go ahead. Mitzasei. So we'll talk about each word here. Mitzasei, right? Sheyishkot, Mishayirtseh. It's all true, but it's also a little bit loaded, in the Rambam, as we'll discuss. Mishayirtseh lechol baser behema chayev ov. Go ahead. Ve'acharkach. Again, fascinating. Yochal. Again, the second pasuk, whatever it is, chaf aleph or whatever it is, and then he adds. Yeah. So, what does he add that for? So again, is he only adding? There are two things. I mean, is it even true? Right. What do I mean, is it even true? Yeah, I mean, in a way, what the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra did to Pasuk Tezvav, right, which is to go against Chazal, or, not completely maybe, but, to kind of ignore the Psulei Mukdashim aspect and to emphasize Basar Taiva, in a way the Rambam did the flip opposite for Pasuk, whatever it is, Chaf Aleph, right? Because the Pashtus, the Sifrei, and everybody is saying that that's Pasuk Taiva, right? And the Rambam isn't denying that. I mean, this is Hilchos Shechita. This isn't Hilchos Ma'aser Karbanos here, right? And actually the Rambam doesn't, as we said, outside of Korban Pesach, he actually doesn't count Shechita in Kadshim as a mitzvah. Is fascinating, but what the Rambam does do, right, is that he brings Bechor Balmum, right, into the equation here. So again, is it because it's Mechudash that we're talking about Bechor Balmum, right? Pashas we're talking about Basa Taiva, and previously we're talking about Psulei HaMukdashim, not only Bechor Balmum. Even then, That already would be significant. Is it there only to teach you halamadata shechaya kebehema, linyan shechita? Probably. I mean, that has nothing to do with it specifically referring to Bechor Bamo. I mean, that's, you know, achkashe yocheles atzvi v'asa'ayol. Right, it sounds like he is of the opinion that this parsha is about Bechor Bal Mum, and he thinks it's important, you know, to integrate into this whole discussion. So we'll see. I don't have time right now, but when we wrap this up, we'll talk about the Nosa Kalim and what they do with this, with these Rambams. Right, first I want to leave you with some bigger issues to think about, but some of the Nosa Kalim suggest that, number one, that Bechor Bal Mum, this is the evidence for this, that Bechor Bal Mum is closer to Chulin than regular Psulei Mukdashim. So then you have a Parsha of Psulei Mukdashim, and you have a Parsha which kind of shares, you know, Bechor Bal Mum and Basar Tayin. Okay. But at the end of the day, right, it's still more than regular Chulin. So by integrating Bechor Bal Mum with Chulin, right, it sounds like the Rambam is trying to make a point about the status of Shechita in general. Okay, that seems to be the case. Again, we'll see what the Nosa Kalim say about it. They have different views. But this, you know, would seem to be the case. So it's interesting also to note that in Halacha Beis, go ahead, the Hilchos Shechita... Okay, so what do you think about that halacha in Rambam? Okay, so you need to make a bracha on Shechita. We'll get to that. You know, we'll see whether that's explicit. It sounds like the Gemara thinks that that is the case. I told you to look at later on in Perakisi Adam, which we'll discuss, and we'll discuss more about Perakas Shechita in general. But what one thing particular, just in the language of the Rambam, is worth noting here, and that is, first of all, what is this thing? Hilchos Shechita Bekulan Achasi Lefikach? Ashochet Behemo Kaya Of Mavarit Tchila Shechitram Tzvot Tzvon Ola Shechita? I mean, what's a Lefikach? Like, it's a little strange. It's hard to know what to do when the Rambam does these things. But we always know that there's something up. What that is, you know, we try to do, you know, the best that we can. But Hilchos Shechita Bekulan is Achas, meaning what? If the Dinei Shechita were different, in a bigger way, I mean, he already said, you know, or he will say, that there are differences between Oaf and Behema, in terms of how many Simanim and other things. So he doesn't mean every detail. It sounds like what he's saying is, the fact that Hilchos Shechita is as achas as it is says something, and somehow that's connected to there being a bracha. Right? What's lefikach? Lefikach and Rambam are always strange, but when they're when they seem to be non sequiturs, you know, that meaning they're not lefikachs, then they're more strange. Like, what does Hilchos Shechita v'kulan achasi have to do with lefikach hashoket behemo chayo? I mean, was there a Hava Mina that you would only make a bracha on behemos but not on chayos? Why, because of no carbon? Obviously, I'm partial a little bit, but I think my partiality is hopefully based on things, cumulative things in particular. Is that what he's saying? Or is he saying that if Shechita were just like a technicality to be matir from Eber Menachai or Nevela, etc., then maybe it wouldn't be Achasi. Maybe it would treat Behema and Chaya and Oaf differently from like an anatomical maybe point of view. Like, how do you, if that's all you have to do. But that isn't the case. And, you know, therefore the indication is that it's much more, it's something more than that. Therefore you should make a bracha. Now, is this the point that you wouldn't make a bracha on all of them, maybe only on the korban equivalent? Or is the point that you wouldn't make a bracha at all if this were just a technical requirement, but it's being achas, you know, indicates, you know, that it's a halachic requirement, not so much like a physiological requirement. You understand what I'm saying? But there's something going on in this Rambam. It's one of those two things, or maybe something else, but it's something that needs to be fleshed out. Moreover, does the Rambam really need to tell us here, v'im lo birech bein b'shogeg bein b'mezon habasar mutter? Right, heichan matzino that brachos are ma'akev anything. Right? I mean, if you don't make a bracha on the lulav or the shofar, right, you're not yotzei yideich habascha? I mean, it's perfectly clear in Hilchos Brachos and in the general rules of Brachos that that is not the case. So again, there's nothing, make it clear, there's nothing in what the Rambam says here. You know, the words are fine. The conclusions are all fine. Again, the Bechor Bal Mum is a little bit, you know, eyebrow-raising. Right? The rest of it is fine, but the need to say them and to say them the way that he's saying them, you know, that seems strange for a master formulator like the Rambam. Right? This Lefikach is a little bit out of place with the, what's the connection between that and Hoshkina Kulanachas or whatever. And Imlo Birech Bebeshog Bebezar Basar Mutter, he doesn't usually feel the need to say that. And in Perikid Aleph, as I say, he mentions Shkita quite a few times, which is also interesting. And we'll get back to that. But, you know, we know that brachos are not ma'akvos, you know, kiyum mitzvos. And certainly not, you know, if they're not ma'akev kiyum mitzvos, they certainly shouldn't be ma'akev heksher, you know, or the matir that is accomplished by that which you're making a bracha on. Right? The only way that you would think that it would be ma'akev would be that somehow the role that Shechita is playing is a mitzvah kind of a role. It's a matir because it's a mitzvah, right? You know, because it accomplishes something, and therefore the lack of bracha, which is connected to its mitzvah, you know, esque kind of nature, right? You know, it could be ma'akev too. I mean, if you're going to treat this like, if you're not going to invoke its, I'll say according to my Mahalach, if you're not going to invoke its Kadshim-esque, you know, feature, you know, then maybe it's Avram and Achai or Nevela or something else. But no, we're not going so far. Okay? So that is Halacha Beis. Then it says, V'asur lechom v'nashkuta kozman shivarchasa. That you have to, we'll get back to that. That interesting Halachos here. Right, va'ochom imenu kodim shetetzei nafshe ova belosase. It's bechlal lo soku al adam, but ain't a loke. That's interesting. Interesting compromise. Okay, then you have dagim v'chagavim in halacha gimel. Dagim v'chagavim is a little bit of a difficult halacha in the Rambam, but he formulates it. Right, ain't on shrika and shchita alasifasan hia materas osan. It needs a matir, but not shchita. Right, but then he compares it. There's asifas dagim kishchitas bakar by betzom. But I think he only means it in the matir sense, not in the mitzvah sense necessarily. So we'll get back to that. And same thing with chagavim. That's a little bit of an issue. Okay. Then comes halacha dalet, which is also interesting. Go ahead. Zvicha zo amura b'torah. Sounds like we have a lot of things to investigate, right? Kishar. Torah Shabbat Peh. Yeah. So here again, he just more. Just it's interesting. This, of course, is a reference to the Gemara Daf Chaf Ches, and the other line of the Sefer, as we mentioned in Sefer Mitzvos Kuf Mem Vav, Rama mentions both lines. Right? Vizavachta, you know, is the comparison of Kachim and Chulin. Right, and Kasher Tzivisicha is the Gemara about Torah Shabbat Peh. But it's just very interesting how expansive he is on this point. And again, he quotes, you know, Bizabachta Mi'ukarecha Mitzvah Kasher Tzivisicha. V'achalta b'sharecha, by adding, you know, that it's called, is this, that's his explanation, kasher tzibisicha, or kishar torah shebaaleh sheyanikra mitzvah, right? In the Hagdama, he's referring to the Hagdama to Yad HaZaka, where the word, you know, the pasuk in Mishpatim, the Hamitzvah is a reference to Torah Sheva'al Peh, right? Because Shemo Shebi'arna B'tchila Skibur. I don't know if they picked up on that. Let's see. Yeah, Hagdama. Yeah, they do say. Meaning, so interpreting the pasuk, you know, a Torah, the Hamitzvah, Asher Tzivisicha, the Rambam's in Hagdama to the Chibor, you know, he talks about the role of Torah Shabbat. Again, I think it's just curious, very rarely does he make reference to that in Yad HaZaka. This certainly adds prominence, let's say, to the details of Shechita, put it that way. His understanding that Pasuk, Asher Tzivisicha, being connected to the Hamitzvah, you know, which is both Torah Shabbat Peah, is something which, again, gives prominence to Shechita. Okay, so basically what I'm trying to show is that Rambam Perek Aleph, again, we'll talk about the Koteret and Sefer Mitzvos. The Rambam counts Shechita as a mitzvah, as we know. Now we know that, we'll see the formulation exactly, but I've already alluded to the fact that he emphasizes the role, its role of a mat as a matir, but again, with like a double emphasis. We'll see in a couple of minutes. I already mentioned it. He has this havamina that without the bracha, you know, there would be an iser achila. So focuses on the matir part and the mitzvah part. Again, he's referring to the mitzvah in halacha dalid. He's connecting to kadshim. With Bechor Psul Mum, and he is quoting the Sifrei and the connection to Kachim in his Sefer Mitzvot. Okay? So that is the Rambam. The Rambam certainly, and we'll see other indications of it as well, that the Rambam certainly seems to be emphasizing that Shechita isn't just a Hechsher or a Sius, you know, of heter achilas basar, but that there is something about all this which is, you know, very prominent and very significant, and that has, I'm going to suggest, to do with, you know, kind of injecting an element of kachim into chul. Just to highlight it further, I can stop in a couple of minutes, but you have a very interesting Bach. You guys get a chance to see the Bach? Shai?
Yeah.
What did the Bach say?
He pointed out that the Ramban's interpretation of Kasher Tzitzitza going back to Vayikra can't be correct, because then you would need to...
Or why not say that? No one's... Well, yeah, right. In other words, the Bach says, why don't you say Kasher? Instead of saying Kasher Tzitzitza means, you know, Torah Shabbat Peh, etc. Right? Why not the Ikel HaKshos, right?
Yeah, I'm Ilan Farish High Kasher Tzivitiva, the Gabe Zvicha, the Mishnah Torah, Kidima Farshina, Kasher Tzivashem Lokacha, the Gabe Shabbos, the Kibidav Eng, the Mishnah Torah, the Terusho, Kasher Tzivicha.
Tzivcha Bamara. In other words, sometimes Kasher Tzivicha doesn't mean Torah Shabbat Peh. It means an earlier place in the Torah, like Kibidav Eng, like Mara, you know, it's an earlier Tzivon. Right, that's the question. Why not say that here? And what would you say here? Hakanami.
Hakanami is fire.
And of course, that is the pasuk by Ola in the very beginning of Torah's Kohanim. Right, right in the very beginning of Torah's Kohanim, the first halacha basically that we're encountering is Shechitas Kodesh. So why not say Kasher Tzivis, which is basically, again, kind of what the Sifrei says. It just doesn't. The phrase says both, but. Or maybe that's Vizabachta. The Ramban does say that about Kasher Tzivisicha, right? Go ahead. So what does he say? Fascinating answer. Shechitas Kodshim requires Right, Kavod. Excellent. Except on the details, you need kavana lechaticha, right? Or you need lobin and kavana klal. You have to at least know, you can't be besasek on the maisa shchita. It doesn't have to be lishma, but it has to be l'shem, right? Bim kain, so if you don't need it, bal korcha, the high kasher tzivitika lelamech, and it's tavamosh alpev, hilchos shchita. Right? So if you look later on, he says to look later on in Siman Gimel, I'm telling you to look also later on in the beginning of Siman Vav. There's a fascinating Bach, which we'll get to in our discussion on the base in the Gemara already. And that is there a requirement? What is the requirement of a shechita knife? Right? And does that have to be patterned after a klisharis? Okay, we'll discuss it, all the details. So the Bach, if you have, do you have the Bach with you? I mean, you have the book?
Yeah, I have the whole.
You do?
I haven't read the one in Siman
Vav. Excellent. So look at Siman Vav just for a second. Right, towards the beginning. The Bach has a fascinating view, and that is that lechatchila, if you have metal available, you should use metal for your shechita. Because since klisharis is ma'akev kadshim, at minimum, it should be a lechatchila and shechita schul. You have that line?
Yeah. So really, the lechatchila yishchot b'sakim, the hu kli matachas, the hu yikach et hamach.
Lechela, interesting, again, comes from, we'll talk about that, but it connected to what we already talked about. That's, of course, the parsha of the Akeda. Yeah, go ahead.
The love to hamechatech, darshinam kli mitachim, the vikach poetosos, the vimas ominayim,
So this, of course, is fascinating because, like, why? What does one thing have to do with the other? Right, klisharis is a kachim idea, and you need a klisharis for many avodos in the mikdash. But just because you need a klisharis and it's even ma'akev and kachim, that makes it lechatchila and shechitas chulin. Right, but this is the same Bach again. The question is, what do you mean? You know, what's the answer? The Bach was saying, you know, I like the idea that shechitas chulin, that the word kasher tzivisicha. In a way, like one of the pshatim in the Sifrei. But he's even going back to not just the general idea, but, you know, the beginning of Vayikra, right? So again, the maskana is, no, we can't do that because that would have, you know, carried with it other dinim of Shechitas Kadshim, you know, which are not applicable. Although we'll talk about that too, by the way. Yeah. I mean, the Rambam, I'll just say now, the Rambam has, there's one place in the Rambam, certainly we'll talk about it a little. Get to it. Ram seems at one place to apply the requirement of kavana in shechita. To all shechitas, and then he kind of says, you know, however, not, you know, it's only ma'akev and kachim. Something like that. Find the line there. But the point I'm trying to make is that the more we think, you know, that these two worlds emerge, the more the Havamina, the Bach, I guess, notwithstanding the Maskana in Siman Aleph and the formulation in Siman Vav, make a lot of sense. Okay? So, with that in mind, you know, let's turn our attention to actually to Midin the Mitzvos. And, you know, to the Rambam and the Ravid and the other Rishonim and the Bahag. So again, we're not going to be able to finish now. We'll finish this, on Tuesday, to go through that and to go into the Brachos part as well. But just to, you know, set it up. So in the Minyan Mitzvah Sakotzar, right, what do we have there? Nicha? Where's the Kuf Mem Vav? So the Ravid in the Minyan HaKatzar says the Rambam should not have counted Shechita as a mitzvah, because it's really a lav abam mechlal asei, right? And which is an asei, but it's only really kefal halav. It's an asei which is a kefal halav, and an asei which is a kefal halav should not be counted separately. Correct? So what we'll see, we'll discuss. This is a big question. That this part of the discussion. Because the next thing we're going to discuss, is this question. I mean, counting shkita. Part of it hinges on a broader Sefer Mitzvot type issues, which we're going to have to touch on quickly. Namely, do you count matirim? Right? Are there different types of matirim? Is what I'm going to suggest. Do you count lava babachlal asei? You know, or not? Okay. So the Ravid thought you should not count this because he assumed two things. Number one, you don't count lava babachlal asei in the minyan of mitzvos, and that's all that shechita is. So what that means is that there's no mitzvah of shechita, nothing beyond simply the halacha that if you eat an animal without shechita, that in addition to the lav, let's say of nevela or eva menachai, as the case may be, right? In addition to that, there's also a violation of an asei of eino zavuach. And the Ravid thinks that doesn't get counted. It might be true, but it just doesn't get counted. Probably, in Chulin, that is the position of the Bahag as well. It's kind of what both the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, Shorosh Aleph, and in a broader way in Shorosh Vav, these are all the Maamar Kabbalists, right? Kind of alludes to. And certainly it's how the Rashbats, both in two places in Zohar HaRakia and also in the Tshuvas of the Tashbates, it's his understanding of the Bahag as well. Namely that basically matirim, but not even matirim. I'm going to make the suggestion to be machalik a little bit. They're basically Isur Aseis, and therefore you shouldn't count them. Now the question is, what is the Rambam hold? Who does count them? And again, it's also striking to note, we'll talk about this, that the Bahag does count Shechitas Kadshim, as they know. He doesn't count Shechitas Chulin. The Rambam doesn't count Shechitas Kadshim, but he does count Shechitas Chulin, and we already saw some of the interesting things that he says about it. So that's a pure Sefer Mitzvah argument, meaning, Lav Avam Bechal Asei, and the Rambam counts them. Is that really true? Or, what looks like that isn't always that. Is there a difference between different Lav Avam Bechal Asei Aseis? Is there a difference between that and a Matir? Are there different types of Matir? Okay? So that's really, this is really what we're trying to figure out. So you have to look at we'll try to get through the Maamar Kabbalos, all these Maamar Kabbalos on Tuesday. But Shorosh Vav, Shorosh Aleph. But also look at, if you get a chance, the discussion between Rabbi Rambam and Rambam and Rabbi Daniel Abavli, because that's also part of this discussion. And just also look at the Rambam. I'm not going to go deeply into it, but part of the whole discussion in both cases revolves around the Rambam's view in Sefer Mitzvos at the beginning of Macholos Asuros regarding either the say to know or to be careful about simane kashrus, in general, for basar, for chaya, or basar and chaya, they're one, for dagim, for chagavim, for ofos, but that's part of the question. Rambam counts that too, meaning also. So what's the relationship between what he does with that? You can get look at the Sefer Mitzvos with a Kuf Mem Vav to like Kuf Nun Beis or something like that. You look them up, you'll find them. And also just the very beginning of Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Perek Aleph, you know, halacha aleph and beis, and perik beis halacha aleph. Like, how's that connected? Does it go further in shechita? Is it the same thing? What are the criteria? So, you know, the Urayim also, just look at all the course that I gave you, but we'll try to go through them quickly. And how does the bracha fit into this as well? Is it a birchas hamitzvah? What nusach do you use in the birchas hamitzvah? Is it a birchas shevach v'hodah? In which case, like, why would you have that, you know, at all? Okay, so, you know, hopefully we'll get through minyan mitzvos and bracha, and part of the brachos thing on Tuesday. Probably have to finish up the brachos part on Thursday, but also to start with Vasar Taiva B'Midbar, to try to do that. And again, once we finish with that, we'll go straight, so you can start. Look, I'll probably give you, you know, either tomorrow or Tuesday, just some things to look at already on that base, you know, and we'll keep looking straight forward. Okay.
In regards to the Rambam, he said that the halakhos of all the sages are the same. Why can't the Rambam just mean that you obviously make a bracha for both the halakhos, chayos, and olam?